5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. This is your favorite cancer survivorship bus driver, Dr. Tom Iannelli. On my left, on the other side of the glass, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, this is the last podcast of 2021.
Can't wait to say goodbye to it. And for those of you that are not able to see me, I am wearing my Christmassy lights on top of my head, and we are shining bright because this has been a powerful year. I am happy to see it go because of the COVID world, but I'm sad to see it go because it was a phenomenal year. Mr. Host himself, the bus driver, the icon, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, Tom Iannelli. I love you, brother.
Angel, if I could paint a visual for everyone, you have these lights, Christmas lights on your head.
I'll turn them off so not distraction. Go ahead.
So, Angel Santana, lest us get off track. Croc Nation, last podcast of the year, lots to say. I believe all of you are probably still a little bit hungover from Christmas. This is December 26th. You probably just powerate yourself through some turkeys and hams and roast beefs and roast beasts and all sorts of fun stuff. You probably still have a bit of a champagne hangover, probably enjoying opening the remainder of your presents and having a great general feeling of goodwill and spirit toward humanity. And now is about the time, Angel. This is the 26th. We're entering in the last week of the year, and I think a lot of people get over that hangover, that holiday hangover, and they start looking forward to the new year. And one of the things people do traditionally in it before the new year is they set forth a series of resolutions. They call them New Year's resolutions. And do you have any resolutions coming into the end of this year?
I do, actually. It's like a one in one. It's good health, mainly, of course, for my wife and my unborn son, and just overall peace. And I mean that sincerely. With all the hate that's going on in the world, I'm just looking for peace. That's what I want. So if I have to, you know, channel any other New Year's resolution other than the birth of my son and the health of my wife, I want to channel it back to everyone out there so they can get their peace and happiness.
And I appreciate that. And, you know, we are all praying for you on all of our platforms, whether it be the Croc Podcast or Have Faith. We know Rachel is going to have a very healthy delivery and everything is going to go great. And I think when I use the word resolution or think of the word resolution, I think of things that we want to change about ourselves. So, Angel, I think the audience knows by now that you and I probably are not the best looking guys to be wearing a Speedo. We've had some, you know, some weight issues, you and I, over the years. And I think one of the resolutions that we'll be investigating is probably one of the more popular ones would I resolve to lose 20 pounds in 2022. I resolve to stop smoking in 2022. I resolve to improve my relationships in 2022. And all of these resolutions sound great, and certainly they appear complex, but maybe they're more complex than we think. And we're going to examine two, I don't want to call them papers, but probably two just blogs as it relates to resolutions, especially as it relates as to the cancer survivor, and really trying to find whether or not these resolutions are going to be healthy or not, whether these are truly making a resolution is really going to be in the best interest of a cancer survivor. And we're going to use weight loss as an example. And then we're going to turn it around and try to give our audience and our constituency actually what I think are five important pillars, not so much for what we think your resolution should be in 2022 if you wish to have them, but really give you some guidelines in how to set forth your personal cancer survivorship resolutions for the new year. Angel, how do you feel about that?
Totally agree, as if we're being introduced here by my daughter who's sitting on my lap. But hey, that's what we're a family show, right? So I totally agree with everything you said. And, you know, deep down inside, I do have a resolution. You know, I think I misunderstood the question, but I do have that resolution as well. When I meant by good health, I did actually mean lose some weight myself. So I can't agree more.
Excellent. So let's go through the actual complexity of a resolution, especially, as I said, as it relates to cancer survivors. So as the new year approaches, many people make resolutions or pledges to be healthier. And while living a healthy life is a great way to lower your cancer risk, some experts believe that a resolution may not be the best way to do this. Let's think about that. Most New Year's resolutions are doomed to failure because it takes more than just a resolution to incur change. It takes self-understanding, skills, strategy, and support. And let's talk about that for a second. What do you say?
Absolutely. Let's go for it.
So let's use weight losses as our model, and then we'll get into the, what I say, five platforms that I think a cancer survivor can use for their springboard to the new year. So a resolution starts not with just sort of a grandiose idea of what they wish to have or how they wish to look or how they wish to be perceived in the new year, but it really starts with self-understanding. And I think the complexity of each of these resolutions can be elucidated when you look at weight loss, because let's think about some of the questions a person has to really ask themselves before they're serious about putting forth this resolution, and not just putting forth the resolution, but actually implementing the resolution and getting the results that the resolution is trying to achieve. So number one, why do I want to lose weight? What are the reasons that I might be ambivalent about losing weight? Meaning, why am I not willing to do the work that's necessary to actually lose weight? Why do I eat more food than I need? What are the reasons that I eat unhealthy food rather than healthy food? Duh, because it tastes unbelievable, right? That's like a stupid question. What positive purpose do comfort foods play in my life? Are there other ways I could get that comfort? What are my attitudes about exercise? What would I have to give up if I were to eat better and exercise more? And is it really worth it? So if you think about it, we all say, I want to stop smoking. I want to lose weight. I want to fit into this, you know, clothes. I want to weigh what I weighed when I graduated high school. I want to really have a better relationship with my family. I want to behave better, blah, 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 blah. And you say these things, but then there comes a series of questions to clarify that resolution, that self-understanding. And then from there, it says to prepare a script. Now, when it says prepare a script, I like to think about it, again, in my sports analogy, I call it premeditation or situational living. So if you were going to be a football player and you were one of the players that was on the defense, meaning that you're covering the other team's offensive player, say you are covering their receiver, and say four receivers line up on one side of the field, then if the receivers, the people covering the receivers, if they don't react to that and they go to the other side of the field, then you're going to have three, you'll have one guy being covered and the other three will be without anybody covering them. So they have to know situationally what to do under certain circumstances. So now bringing that sports analogy to real life, you know, and this happens to me all the time. This is one of the reasons why I have such trouble with the weight and with, you know, trying to lose weight, is that you often lose the fight before the fight even begins. So what do? You get tired, you're in the afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you're starving. And the only thing that's in the department, you know, is, you know, chocolate or cookies or baked goods or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever. Instead of, you know, being able to anticipate or premeditate the knowledge that that's going to happen, and you have an apple. I know my wife gives me an entire truck of fruit, you know, before the week starts, you know, so I'll have something healthy in my office, you know, when I reach that point? Or what do you do if you know you're going to have a birthday party and we have all those beautiful luncheons, right, that I provide for the staff that we talked about during generosity? You know, what if I didn't have any alternative, or I don't order a salad, or I don't order a healthy alternative, then, you know, I'm going to be eating pastrami and cheeseburgers and hot dogs and, you know, pizza and all these types of things, Chinese food.
Can I just tell you, you're making me hungry?
Yeah, tell me about it. Exactly. But again, this is premeditation, right? What if you, you know, my wife always tells me also, don't go to a grocery store if you're hungry. You know, if you go to a grocery store and you're hungry, I like eat a salad and then go to the grocery store, right? You know, don't go to the grocery store hungry, or you'll not only buy 10 times more than you need when you get home, you're going to devour everything you just bought. And then as far as creating a strategy, so make a plan, you know, bring that apple, bring that fruit to work, have a healthy snack. Again, be able to deal with all the things that might, you know, anticipatorily happen, you know, in order to live up to that resolution, and build social support. So means that you want to talk to family and friends. Again, you know, Denise, again, you know, would say, oh, we're going to have a social event with a couple. Instead of going out to a restaurant, why don't we go for a hike? Why don't we go for a bike ride? Why don't we do something healthy, you know, instead? And you build the support system about that resolution. And I think that that's a really nice introduction or an example of how more complex a resolution really is than you would think it is. So it's the end of the year, last week. Okay, everybody, what's your New Year's resolutions? And you come up with these things, but you really need to think them through. So with that being said, let's talk about, we talked about the four S's, which, you know, which can prevent that doomed to failure. The self-understanding, the skills, the strategies, and the support. And now we're going to turn it around and we're going to talk about resolutions, New Year's resolutions, as it relates to the cancer survivor. So as you know, we have certain pillars on the Croc podcast in our organization. Some of the things that we've been harping on and absolutely reinforcing and building that strong foundation with our Croc podcast for our cancer survivors. And one of them, I think, is we've done several podcasts talking about what is your relationship with your medical team? How do you interact with your care, with your caregivers, with your doctors, with your nurses? Are they accessible? Remember how we preach that you should have a doctor, especially if you have cancer, that if you call them, you could expect a call back in a reasonable amount of time. Now, you don't have to get them on the phone immediately, but I mean, we don't want you to feel that 3 days goes by and your doctor hasn't called you back, your nurse practitioner hasn't called you back. So these are some of the things we're going to be talking about. So when we talk about your resolutions as a cancer survivor, we're going to talk about five things. So the relationship with your medical team, is your medical team accessible? Do you trust your medical team? You're putting your life in their hands. Do you trust these people? Do you really believe in them? Do you like them as people? I mean, when your doctor comes in, I mean, you don't have to, you know, ask them to join your bowling team, but are they good human beings? Are they people that you feel that you would like in real life? And something that our cancer survivors probably wouldn't think of, do they like you? You know, doctors and nurses are human beings. I mean, we gravitate towards certain personalities and we repel other types of personalities. I told you the funny story of the woman who was expecting a more traditional doctor, and I didn't even get a toe in the room. And she took one look at me with my jersey and she said, no, 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 no. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And, you know, we were able to talk her off the ledge and it worked out well. We became friends. But, you know, do you like them and do they like you? In addition, do you have all the players on the field? Again, back to my sports analogies. So say you have a thyroid cancer and you see me and I give you your iodine, you've had your surgery done, and then you have an internist in Maybrook, New York, who keeps your TSH level at, you know, 3.7. Now, a TSH level of 3.7 would be fantastic for any normal person, but not for a cancer survivor. Your TSH needs to be much lower than that, but they may not know that. So do you have an endocrinologist on your team? If you have prostate cancer, in the old days, no prostate cancer patient had a medical oncologist on their team. They would have a urologist or a radiation oncologist, but they wouldn't have a medical oncologist. But guess what? Prostate cancer is getting much more complex. There's a lot of genomics. You know, there's a lot of different sort of molecular targets that can be very susceptible to therapeutics that were not available, you know, in those days. So if you're a prostate cancer survivor, do you have the right players? Do you have the right people on your medical team? What is the role of your primary caregiver? You know, this is probably somebody who has served you well over the last 20, 30, 40 years, you know, for every time you got the flu, every time you got a cold, every time, you know, you might've had an ear infection or, you know, had concerns or there was a lump or bump or whatever. These are the people that kept you going, kept you healthy. What is their relationship or role in your care? These are all important things. So pillar number one for setting up a series of resolutions is reinvestigate, reassess, and really think out what is the relationship you have with your medical team. Number two, what is your intellectual investment in your cancer survivorship journey? Are you the person who brought a notebook to your consult, or are you a person who just kind of sits there and listens? Do you have a binder where you keep all of your records, where you have all of your films on disc? Do you have a survivorship plan? Do you know what a survivorship plan is? Do you even know the type of cancer you have? Do you know your stage? Do you know your prognosis? Do you know the treatments that you are getting? Do you know the treatments that you're available to have? Do you know the clinical trials available related to your cancer? Again, do you have a survivorship plan? Do you have an in-house support system? Do you have family members that you can talk to? Do they understand what's going on with you? Have you even told your family that you have cancer? Do you have an outside cancer support mechanism like a CROC survivorship group or some other people who are cancer survivors that you can unload on, that you can talk to, that you can share with? That is another pillar we want you to investigate, that would, again, the intellectual investment in your journey. We think that you should be, you know, a partner in your healthcare, not just a passive observer, but you should be an active participant in your cancer survivorship journey. Number three, I call moving and shaking. And this is something, you know, the CROC organization has done since day one, and that's to get people moving. Now, it doesn't have to be marathon running, and it doesn't have to be mountain climbing, or it doesn't have to be triathlons, but you should be doing something, because any type of movement will make you feel better. It will make you think clearer. It will give you confidence. It will also decrease your cancer risks. How about nutrition? Doctors don't know anything about nutrition. You know, what are the difference between whole foods and non-whole foods? What are real foods? What are, you know, what are foods that are not fake? You know, instead of all of the junk that we put in our bodies, you know, how about substituting some fruits and vegetables? How about going to some workshops, going to YouTube, reading some books? This is all really important stuff. And the moving and shaking especially, but really all of these, you know, takes an investment. It takes time, and you have to want to be able to do this, not just when you're feeling great and you have a lot of energy, but on days when you don't have that energy and you don't feel that great, you still have to be committed to this path. Otherwise, again, your resolutions will fall flat on their face, right? And we're trying to encourage you to make your resolutions, but give you the ammunition and the knowledge to empower you on how to actually follow through on these resolutions. Managing your cancer roller coaster. So very early in my career, I saw a pattern which was very evident, where a patient would go through their treatments and they would be doing fantastic and their cancer would disappear. And I would have the tears and the hugs and everybody would be really happy. And they would then be given a 6-month follow-up, and I would order a series of tests for them to do in the week or two before they came back to see me. And for 5 months, they would be fantastic. They would be, you know, seldom thinking about their survivorship, seldom worrying. And then for some reason, without them even really remembering about their appointments, there would be this sort of inner clock that would start this anxiety. I called it this roller coaster because it was sort of the countdown to retesting. And we think that one of the reasons why cancer as a disease is so different and so special, and I don't say that in a loving way in any way, but it's because it's a very nefarious and capricious creature that really sort of invades your body, unlike other sorts of diseases like coronary disease or infectious disease. It's kind of an alien that just comes in and takes over and has this power over you. So for those 2 weeks, as you're getting ready for your retesting, you get a little short with your family, you get a little anxious, you get a little uneasy, you get a little insomnia, you get a little agita, as I would say in my Italian language. And then all of a sudden you would get your testing, and then all of a sudden it becomes downright, you know, terror until you get the call from your doctor, hey, everything's great, I'll see you in 6 months. And then then it sort of revamps. So our model, for dealing with the cancer roller coaster, with that fear monster, is to, again, going back to the other pillar, was to make sure you have a really good support, situation, both in-house and out-of-house. You have an organization like CROC that encourages fellowship and personal expansion and speaking to people in the same boat as you, and getting that information, I have stage 1 breast cancer. My chances of a recurrence are less than 4%. I'm not going to spend the next 2 weeks terrified of something that's 4% or 2% or 1%. I'm going to just live my life, and I'm not going to let this fear get it behind me. Fear, right? Get it behind me, you serpent. We're not going to let that happen. And last but not least, managing the symptoms. From our first series of podcasts, when our first module was actually defining survivorship, we talked about Dr. Fitzhugh Mullins and how he was a doctor, young doctor with cancer, who was cured of his cancer. But the amount of side effects and damage that his cancer treatments gave him, you have to learn how to manage these symptoms. Cancer is not penance. There are no medals, gold medals for suffering in silence. There is no prize for not telling anyone you're in pain or you're having these symptoms. And some of these symptoms are directly from your cancer, and some of these symptoms are directly from your treatment. So for instance, you might get chemotherapy and your cancer will be gone, but you might be left with neuropathy where you can't feel your fingers and your toes, or you might have pain from either your cancer or your treatments, and your doctors are reluctant to give you pain medication. You might have nausea, you might have vomiting, you might have loose bowel movements. There's so many different things you might have, headaches. You don't need to suffer. So, to put it into perspective, again, to give you guys sort of a summary of what we're talking about. So are New Year's resolutions a good thing or a bad thing? So I'm going to say, and I'll let Angel weigh in also, that resolutions are a good thing if they're understood properly and they're dealt with properly. For instance, you have to realize the complexity and the respect that you need to give to a resolution. You need to look at all of the different aspects of these resolutions. You have to look at you have to have self-understanding. You have to have the skills to deal with the resolution and how you're going to deal with it. You have to have strategies and support. And we are recommending that you look at the 5 pillars of the 5 New Year's resolutions for cancer survivors and the pillars to investigate as you're putting together your personal resolutions. There's your relationship with your medical team. There's the intellectual investment. There's the moving and shaking. There's the managing the cancer roller coaster and managing the symptoms. Angel, your thoughts?
I think the pillars are really actually a very useful tool. And that's what I love about our toolbox. You know, these people are going to be able to, myself included, of course, are going to be able to utilize, especially today's message, because this is something that goes on in ordinary life. Everybody goes through this, whether you have a sickness, whether you have, you know, just anything. Myself, just recently, when you're talking, I'm thinking about, and you know, this morning I took my daughter to see a new pediatrician. We felt a little uncomfortable with the past one. And we went in there with good expectations, and we walked out of there with greater expectations. So you have to be aware of who your caregiver is, who, you know, and what you want to do with what you have. Because in reality, we are in charge of our own destiny to a certain extent. And if we can choose the right door, if we can pick the right path, especially with the cards that can be dealt with us, it does make life a little bit easier.
Awesome. So to my survivors, I think on behalf of Angel, on behalf of our entire board of directors, we want to thank you and show gratitude for believing in us over these last 52 weeks. It's been a great experience building our library of modules to try to help you through your journey. And I would think that my resolution is to try to get better and better every podcast in order to serve you better, in order to give you more information, in order to give you the tools you need for your cancer survivorship toolbox. Gratitude to Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin.
Happy New Year, my friend.
There you go. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. My friends, Michael, John, Benzea, Charlotte Larson, thank you for your charitable belief in us. And of course, to the entire board of directors, who I think will be very happy that we probably kept this podcast to 30 minutes or less, despite it being our last podcast of the year. And we leave you as we leave you each week. We wish you, from the bottoms of our hearts, from this beautiful holiday week to this end of year podcast, we wish you a long, healthy, happy, cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. God love you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Croc Podcast. On behalf of Dr. Tommy Nelly and myself, we want to wish all of Croc Nation, your family, and your friends a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you all in 2022.